Thank you so much, Pastor Dan. It's such a joy for Norma and me to be here once in a while to share with you and the wonderful blessings that God has obviously poured upon this church through many, many years. And as we talk about the coming of the Lord, we're reminded that it could be this morning. 45 minutes, this morning is over. And we don't want the message to be interrupted by the rapture. So we trust the Lord for His mercy as we think together today of these great, glorious things that are going to happen. We invite you to turn in your Bible to John 14. John chapter 14. In the timeline of world history, friends, we have now arrived at the end of the third system. System one maybe lasted less than a month. Adam and Eve were given the opportunity to make a choice. They weren't just robots. God said, choose me, love me, and here's an alternative. Eve took the alternative. So did Adam, and we've never recovered. Because that's what we do every day we live, friends. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone his own way. And the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. We have inherited a created world, a cursed world, a fallen world. But we have inherited the work of Jesus. So you see, friends, that first world, maybe less than a month. The second world was the worst system this planet has ever known or ever will know, in which Satan and demons practically took over the whole human race. The horrible story in Genesis chapter 6. God saw the wickedness of man was great upon the earth. Every thought of the imagination of his heart, only evil continually. Demonic, awesome, horrible. God wants us to know that things were unbelievably bad, and that's why he did what? He brought a flood that wiped out the whole human race, maybe a billion people, except for 8 survivors. That began the third system in which you and I now live, which has had many complex changes in it, hasn't it? The dispensation of promise, then of human government and of promise and of the law of Moses, Israel. 2,000 years ago, what new program began? The church on the day of Pentecost. But look how it's going to end, friends. It's going to end just before the 1,000-year kingdom with a 7-year transition period called the Great Tribulation, the 70th week of Daniel. Now, Jesus said, you remember in Matthew 24, when you see the abomination of desolations stand in that holy place, you say, what is that? Well, look at this, friends. Look at this. That abomination is going to stand right there in the Holy of Holies of the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus said to the Jews, when you see that, get out of Jerusalem. For then will be a time of tribulation such as the world has never known, no, nor ever shall. The final supreme period of global catastrophe. Billions of people will die. More on that later. In the meantime, praise God, He has exempted the church, the body and bride of Christ, true born-again Christians, from even being here on the earth. Where will we be? Now watch. There's going to be a resurrection rapture event, which I said could be this morning, okay? All born-again Christians who've ever died will be resurrected. See here, resurrection. All born-again Christians who are still alive will be instantaneously raptured, caught up, carried away to glory, right here, rapture. We'll be taken up there to be with Jesus for 7 years of evaluation. This is the judgment seat of Christ. Evaluate. Not to determine whether we're saved, but to determine what? What reward we will receive. What honor, what crown for faithfulness while we were here on the earth serving Him. To equip us, prepare us for the coming kingdom age when we'll serve with Him for 1,000 years. Now, friends, these amazing things that God tells us about are hinted at in the first verses of John 14. Look carefully. John chapter 14, are you there? Verse 1. Now the disciples knew horrible things were coming. They had heard Jesus say, I'm going to die. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be crucified. They're very upset. So he says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. That's the Father. Believe also in me, the Son. Why shouldn't we be troubled? Because something special has been planned for believers in heaven. Here it is. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. Isn't that comforting? If something is not going to happen, he'll tell us that. If something is going to happen, he'll tell us that. He wants us to know exactly what we need to know to be thoroughly equipped, prepared, encouraged, enlightened, illumined for what's coming. He wants us to be enlightened. That's why we're here this morning, friend, isn't it? Listen carefully. What's coming, all right? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There it is. A little hint. Now, the disciples had no idea what he meant. But this is not the second coming in glory, you see, which is over here. There he's going to bring us with him down to the earth, as we shall see. But here he's going to come down to meet us and take us back to heaven with him for this long 7-year period of confrontation and evaluation. A little hint of the rapture. Now, God has amazingly delegated, consigned to the apostles the details of what's going to happen. Jesus didn't tell us everything we need to know. He told the apostles things that we need to know. Now let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. Can you find 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Now this was a very persecuted church. They were afraid that many of the Christians who had been killed, martyred, were dead, would miss out on the second coming. He said, no. Dead Christians will be honored first. They'll be the first humans other than Jesus to be glorified. Now watch how this happens. Are you there? 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep. That means dead Christians. They look like they're sleeping, their bodies. But they're spiritually alive in heaven. Okay? Now, that you may not grieve as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and I stop right there. Do you believe that Jesus died for you and rose again? If you believe that, you are instantaneously and forever regenerated, born again, saved, equipped for heaven. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to deserve anything. You don't have to do anything. You just say, Lord, I believe you. I accept this gift. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. A gift. Just receive it. Accept it. My, look at that. If even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Now what is it? Where are we here? Now watch. At the rapture of the church, God will bring with him believers who have been dead for 2,000 years, some of them. And he's going to come right down here into the air, not to the earth, just this somewhere in the atmosphere. And something special is going to happen. This is amazing. Now look. Verse 16. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Stop there. When Jesus shouts, trust me, something can happen. Ask Lazarus. He was in very serious condition, like he is dead for 4 days, rotting in a tomb. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. What happened? He came forth. If Jesus hadn't said Lazarus, every dead body would have risen on this planet. What power in his voice. Now, he's going to come down from heaven with a shout. With what else? The voice of the archangel. Who's he? Michael, who stands for Israel. Because you see, when the church is gone, now watch carefully here. When the church of Jesus Christ is gone, God is going to begin a new program on this planet in Israel with two Israelis suddenly appearing in Jerusalem. Who are they? Elijah and probably Moses. Really? Yes. You remember in Matthew 16, Jesus says, some of you will not taste of death until you see the Son of Man coming in glory. And 6 days later, he took Peter, James, and John to a high mountain and was transfigured before them, a sort of a foretaste, see, of his glory. And two men suddenly joined them. Who were they? Moses and Elijah. Wow. The apostles were fascinated. Moses and Elijah, the two of the most famous men in the history of Israel, who stood against the enemies of God in Egypt, Moses, the enemies of God in Canaan, Elijah, they'll be here. To do what? To be what? Forerunners of the second coming. And the disciples asked about Elijah, and he said, Elijah will come first and will restore all things. John the Baptist failed. No problem with it. Jesus said, no man greater than John, born of women. But the people rejected him and rejected Jesus at the first coming. At the second coming, there'll be two witnesses, not just one like John the Baptist. Two witnesses, and they will succeed. Elijah will do what? He'll restore all things. Well, the Jews knew that. They were obsessed with Elijah. Elijah's coming. Elijah's coming. They still are. You know why? The last verse of the Old Testament says, I will send Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he'll restore the hearts of fathers to children, children to fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Kalem. Last verse of the Old Testament. When John the Baptist came, they said, are you Elijah? When Jesus died, he cried out in Aramaic from the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. They thought he was calling for Elijah. They still are obsessed with Elijah coming. They know they can't do anything in that temple in Jerusalem till Elijah comes. Wow, he's coming. And when he comes, friends, he will prepare Israel for Jesus. You see, Israel will be in very serious condition. Let me tell you something about that. Now watch. 1 minute after the rapture of the church, all Israelis, there are nearly 6 million of them in Israel today, 6 million. I was a soldier in the Second World War in Germany in 1945. I saw the remains, some of the remains of the Holocaust. 6 million Jews slaughtered in Germany. I could not have believed that I would live to see 6 million Jews back in Israel. Something spectacular, friends, is about to happen. Now, when Israel gets sufficiently desperate, isolated, frustrated, they will sign a treaty for 7 years. With whom? With the Antichrist. And I say, Lord, that's amazing. It's the little horn. He's coming. The worst human who's ever lived is about to appear in Jerusalem. Wow. But who else is going to be in Jerusalem? You look at this. Two witnesses. Elijah and Moses. And they will prepare that nation. Because when they appear, not one Israelite, Jew, Israeli, will be a believer. No, because the believing Jews today, Messianic Jews, will be in the rapture. You understand? With the church. They're gone. And Moses and Elijah will have millions of unbelieving Jews to deal with. And friends, this is one of the most spectacular evangelistic programs in the history of the world. Within 3.5 years, these two witnesses will have led most of the Jews to believe in Jesus. Really. Romans 11. All Israel will be saved. My. Jesus said, if you want to know what's going to happen, read the book of Daniel. And I say, thank you, Lord. I got the message. Daniel says that this 70th week right here, 7 year period, is totally, exclusively for Israel and Jerusalem. Not the church, not New York City, not Chicago, Jerusalem, Israel. 7 years, not the church, Israel. Well, where's the church? We're gone. That's one of the most powerful evidences the church won't even be here, because the last 7 years are for Israel. Daniel 9:24. Amazing. I say, Lord, help me to put all this together. Jesus said, when you read the book of Daniel, understand him. He will give you the key to unlock the mysteries of the end of the world. Wow. The 70th and last week of Daniel. Now, friends, I say, now wait a minute. What is this rapture thing? Okay, keep reading. Are you still in 1 Thessalonians with me? Here we go, friends. We just heard the voice of the angel. That's Michael. Okay, Israel functioning again. Okay. And then what? The trumpet of God, collecting all of God's people together for glorification. Now, watch what's coming next. Number four. And the dead in Christ will rise first. You Thessalonians, don't worry about your dead loved ones. They'll be the first ones glorified after Jesus. What do you mean? Well, you remember 1 Corinthians 15 says it's sort of like a parade of resurrection events. Jesus Christ, the first fruits of them that slept. He's the only human in the universe with a glorified body. Okay? Afterward, they that are his that is coming. That's right here. Right here. Resurrection of believers in the church age will be glorified. What's the next one? Here we go. When the Antichrist kills the two witnesses, kills them. Their dead bodies will be in the streets of Jerusalem for half a week. Their enemies gloating over them. And suddenly they'll be what? Resurrected. They'll ascend to heaven, glorified, vindicated at last for their testimony. The next and final resurrection of believers is right here. All tribulation martyrs. There'll be millions of people killed for their faith in Jesus during this period, especially the last 3.5 years, right here. They'll all be resurrected. And all Old Testament pre-Pentecost saints, from Adam and Eve down to John the Baptist, and Joseph, the husband of Mary, will be raised from the dead with glorified bodies. The next resurrection is after the millennium for unbelievers throughout the history of the world. So everybody who's a believer will have been glorified right here. Right here. My. The Tagma, the parade, in this amazing series of events throughout the history of the world. Now here's a little problem. I admit this is a struggle for me too. How can Elijah and Moses be murdered if they have already been glorified? Wait a minute. They never have been glorified. Not to this hour. You say, well, Dr. Wickham, Elisha saw Elijah going to heaven with a chariot of fire. He was last seen alive, going to heaven. But after he disappeared, he died. You say, what do you mean? Where does it say that? Jesus said that in John 3:13. He said, no man has ever ascended to heaven. You can't go to heaven bodily without a glorified body. So he must have separated his body from his soul spirit after he disappeared and deposited him in Abraham's bosom paradise, upper Sheol Hades, from whence he went to the third heaven with Jesus at his ascension, and has been waiting up there for 2,000 years to come back to this world and die again. Nobody saw Moses die either, but he did, in a secret place. And he's going to die again. You say, die again? I thought it was appointed on the men once to die and have to... Oh, many people have died more than once. Lazarus was so disappointed when Jesus raised him and he had to die twice. I don't want that to happen to me, folks. Those are exceptions, you see, to the rule. By the way, if everybody has to die once, we can't have a rapture. The blessed hope of the church is that we'll never die. What an exception God will make for His bride, His body, His church at the first phase of His second coming. See, the second complex series of events, isn't it? 7 years of all kinds of things happening here. The first coming was a third of a century of complex things happening. His conception, his birth, his growth, his death, his resurrection, his 40 days, and then his ascension. Transition periods, you see, between dispensations, during which time God prepares his people for what's going to happen next. God makes intricate, detailed plans for preparing his people for what they will experience next. I say, Lord, This is amazing. The church, the body of Christ, will be raptured. Now, just listen to it. We who are alive and remain should be caught up. Caught up. Harpazo. Special Greek verb. It means snatch away. You know, we have two English words that come from harpazo. Have you heard of these words? Harp is an instrument which, when plucked, brings music out. Harpoon, an instrument which, when thrown into the ocean, will pluck a whale out. And we'll be all harpooned and harped out of here. I hope you're ready. Amazing, amazing things are going to happen. You say, and we'll be caught up in the clouds of glory, to meet the Lord in the air, not on the earth. See, He's not coming back to the earth. No, no. Keep this clear. He comes back just to meet us in the air, not on the earth. He's going to come to the earth at the second coming. Phase, final phase of the second coming. And I say, look, that's amazing. A special coming for His bride, His body, His church. Why? Because He's going to spend 7 years examining us. Really? It's called the judgment seat of Christ right here. Right here. Now, He's not going to decide whether we're saved or not. That's all settled. The only people in the rapture are saved, born-again people. What's He going to judge us for, evaluate us for, examine us for, to determine whether we are worthy of a reward, a crown, for faithfulness during our service for Him as Christians? From the moment you and I were born again, we have choices, don't we? To serve Him, to honor Him, to pray, to witness, to live for Him, to think about Him. Thousands of choices every day we live as a Christian. See, all of which will be brought up for review and analysis, evaluation. That's why Paul the Apostle struggled to be qualified for a crown, not for himself, but to cast it at the feet of Jesus in appreciation. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, is not for me only, but also for those who look for love His appearing. The crown. The crown. Now, we have just honored a young man from Afghanistan. God bless your brother. My father was a great military leader in the Second World War, a chief of staff in the Third Army under General Patton. He was a professor at West Point as well. I was his only child. From childhood, his military, see, campaigns, strategy, tactics, weapons, enemy, all my early life, see, I ended up as a soldier in the Second World War, as I mentioned, in Belgium, the Battle of the Bulge, December 44. Barely survived one attack. I say, God, thank you. Thank you for that. But you see, friends, in the military, I was taught that your faithfulness, your diligence, your self-control, your courage will be rewarded, honored. You'll get promoted, see. You'll be honored. You have ribbons on you. You have all kinds of badges on you and medals and stuff to show what you did. We were faithful here. You did this and that. Well, friends, we're in the Lord's army, and He's going to have promotions, rewards, honors. I mean, no army in the world can function if nobody's ever recognized for anything they've done that's faithful. See, if nobody's ever promoted for anything they've ever done that's good. The same thing is true of our schools. You have honors, rewards, you see, graduation. I just very humbly want to mention to you that our granddaughter in Indianapolis just graduated from Indiana University, number one in her class, in spite of many serious physical limitations. 100 graduates in a school of nursing. And I say, well, thank you, Lord. What an encouragement to all of us. People are honored and respected and recognized for diligence. That's true with the Lord, not just in the army, or in a school, in the governments, in industry, everywhere. That's the way God designed us, to be what? Motivated to do better if there's a reward on the line ahead of you. You see? Jesus says, I'm going to honor you if you are faithful. Oh my. 1 Corinthians 3 says, if you build wood, hay, and stubble, trash, on your foundation of faith in Jesus, it'll burn up. It'll be wiped out by fire. Fire for Jesus, people in heaven, you mean Christians? But not to determine, you won't be burned up, your works will be. Wow. Yet you will be saved, it says. You'll suffer loss. You'll be saved, yet so as by fire. Wow. Did you know that? Well, the Apostle John was scared about that. He was one of the finest disciples of them all, you remember, the closest to Jesus. He said, now, little children, to his disciples, be ready when he comes. Don't be ashamed when he comes. Don't be ashamed. Discipline yourself. Control yourself under God. Walk with him because he's coming to examine you. Wow. The judgment throne of Christ, the Bema in heaven. Now this goes on. Now watch this, friends. Here we go. 7 years this will go on to determine what function we'll have in the coming kingdom age under Jesus as a king and a priest under his leadership. He says to the unworthy Corinthians, don't you know that you're going to judge the world? You're going to judge angels in that glorified state in the coming kingdom age? Get ready now for what you're going to do then. Prepare right now. I say, Lord, I'm amazed that you have planned this for your people, not angels, humans, ruling the world in the thousand-year kingdom. And so, friends, we'll be caught up in the air, and then we'll face Jesus right here. My. Now, what's the rapture going to be like? Are you ready? Here's what he said to the Corinthians. The Corinthians had a problem with rapture. You know why? They were Greeks. And Greeks hated the idea of resurrection. Did you know that? Why? They didn't know what a resurrection was. They thought it'd be just a resuscitation of some rotting corpse or something. We'd be staggering around with it. No. It'll be a magnificent body. And Paul goes to describe what it'll be like in 1 Corinthians 15 at length. Now, here's what he said in conclusion, end of 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We'll not all sleep the sleep of death, but we'll all be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpets are sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we'll be changed. Wow. Instantaneously, perfect, forever, glorified. Just like that. How many think Jesus can handle that? 25, thank you. Amazing things are happening, friends, in his plan and program for his bride, his body, his church. And you know that's all leading to what? Here we go. To the marriage supper of the Lamb, where he'll present us with clothing that we have participated in preparing. See, robes, white garments, and we will cast our crowns before him, and he'll bring us back in glory to the earth at his second coming to this planet Earth. My. Thank you, Lord, for what you said you're going to do. Now, friends, I say, Lord Jesus, you have a perfect plan. Just the only imperfect part of it is me. And may I suggest you. We are the problem. Until we do what? Cast ourselves before him and say, Lord, help me. Impure thoughts, inappropriate acts, laziness, slothfulness, failure to be a witness for you, a light reflector. Help me, Lord, today to begin to serve you and do your will. Because, friends, in that coming kingdom, you know what you're going to do, don't you? For 1,000 years, according in proportion to your faithfulness now, will be the level of your dignity and function in the kingdom. Jesus said, if you're faithful in a few things, you'll be ruler over a few cities in the kingdom. If you're faithful in many things, you'll be ruler over many cities in the kingdom. How many of you are picking out your cities? How many want Washington, D.C.? How many prefer Baltimore? You say you're not serious. Yes, you will be a king and a priest under Jesus for 1,000 years over the world. Over the world, not on the world. Not on the earth, over the world, like angels. Because angels are not going to have any function at all in the kingdom. Hebrews 2:4. Not unto angels is he made subject to world to come, but unto men who are glorified under Christ will rule the world as a king or a priest. Wow, for 1,000 years. Not that Jesus needs our help. You understand that? He's so gracious to allow us to have a part in his government. He doesn't need our help today either. But do you know what he said? Make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. You say, that's impossible. Make disciples of all nations? We can't do that. Satan is the king of the world. People hate the gospel. How can we do that? He says, one more footnote. Are you ready? And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Oh, really? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He will be with us. He is with us. He will use us. I say, thank you, Lord. I see the point. Even my sanctification is like that. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. God and you and me together. That's what He has planned for the human race from all eternity. We are responsible. We can make a choice. He wants us to love Him, to do voluntarily the things He's asked us to do. And I say, Lord, I see the point. Help me this morning, now, before 12 o'clock, to make a choice for you. Do you know the Savior, friends? Let's pray. Now, Father, these are amazing things you've told us. How you're right now preparing a vast administration to rule the world for 1,000 years. And we ourselves, in spite of our sin, unbelief, disobedience, and failures, will be part of the government of the world. Help us, Father, to make the right choices, even today, to be a witness to somebody, to pray for somebody, to serve you, to help somebody in their walk of faith before you. Bless this church. Thank you for Pastor Dan and his marvelous team of pastors here and helpers. And pray that this will just be the beginning of the best part of the history of this church. Renewed dedication, revival of heart and mind and soul to the Savior. And I pray this prayer, Father, in Jesus' wonderful and glorious name and for His sake. Amen. Amen. Amen.